We'll talk. If you want to be on tape or on video, keep talking. Okay, we're on page 22 in the Chumash, in the Stone Chumashim. Okay, so up to now is Cain killed his brother.
Are you kidding me? The air condition is on?
I love it.
We just had a debate.
I love it. That's why you brought a sweater, no? Because you knew it was going to be on. No, so why are you complaining?
I thought the door would be open. That's what I brought for that. I never thought that
okay.
The condition is going to be on.
You live and learn. So Cain killed his brother. Hashem says to him, what did you do? He says, what do you mean? I don't need my brother's keeper. Hashem said, the bloods are crying to me from the ground. You don't even know how bad you are. From now on, you're going to have to be a wanderer. By the way, according to the Midrashim and everything, Cain was the first real Baal Tshuva. He admitted his sin. He said to God, is my sin too great for you to be able to forgive? He became a wanderer. The Medrash says he did Tshuva, but we don't find the Chumash when Hashem said to Adam, why did you do it? He said, no, I'm sorry, I did it. He blamed his wife. But I'm saying Cain was the first real Baal Tshuva that actually came along and regretted what he did. Anyway, Hashem said to him like this, you're going to become a wanderer. And Shivasayim Yukam Kayim, meaning you're going to be killed after seven generations. Which means Hashem said to him, and this is the way Hashem's tolerance and forgiveness works, Hashem basically said to Cain, because you did tshuva, you're going to merit, don't forget they lived long in those days, you're going to merit seven generations of people before you're killed, before you're punished for your sin. So this is what Hashem told him. Okay, so Cain went out, top of 22, and he settled in the land of Nod. The Ramban writes, why was the land called Nod? Nod means wandering. Nod means a wanderer. He says, the Ramban says like this, Cain didn't go all around the world. He stayed in one country, in the land of, but he wandered back and forth in the country. So therefore the commentators explain, the Ramban says that's why the land is called Noid, the land of wandering, because Cain wandered in that land for an extended period of time.
Okay.
22. Okay. Pasik. Okay, Yudzayim.
It also brings down in the note here, it says that Adam was also exiled there.
Adam was exiled to the east of Gan Eden. It also says he went to the east of Gan Eden. Yeah, so that's another reason commentators explain why it's called Noid, because Adam and Ish was also exiled there.
Do we know where it is now?
No. Oh, well, I don't know. East of Gan Eden. What? I don't know. It says the Meshe Rabbeinu was there. I mean, not Meshe. Adam and Ish was there. I don't know. Because the question is, where's Gan Eden now? I'll tell you, make you a deal. You tell me where Gan Eden is, I'll show you where this place is.
Must be close by, isn't it?
Close by what? To Los Angeles or to Hollywood?
To the Machpelah, because they died.
No, probably not. Okay. Let's go. Cain knew his wife, again, means he lived with his wife. Vatar v'telet es chaneich. She became pregnant, she gave birth to Chaneich. Vayhi bein ha'ir, and he built a city. Vayikra shem ha'ir, and he called the name of the city, Keshem b'nei Chaneich. And again, this shows again the concept of tshuva that Cain actually was doing. The Mefarshim explain, first of all, you know, when a person sins and they get yelled at for sinning, they can get depressed, give up, and go to sleep, right? Cain went and built. That's why he's a real Baal Tshuva. The real concept of the Baal Tshuva of Cain was, because it's the first biblical Baal Tshuva, you know, clear Baal Tshuva, there's a lot of lessons you learn from this Baal Tshuva. Number one, he repented, he asked Hashem forgiveness, he meant it, he exiled himself because years ago people used to exile themselves for a form of purification. Not only that, he didn't go there and he got depressed and go on Social Security and retirement. He went and built. But because he knew he sinned, He didn't want to call the name of the city on his name, which is negative. So he called it on the name of his son. In other words, he wanted to actually build a city. Now, the Mefarshim say, it doesn't say Vayivan Ir. Vayivan Ir means he built a city. Vayhi Boina Ir mean he kept doing it. In other words, he would build a little, continue. Bona is present tense. Okay? If the Torah wanted to use the expression he built a city, the Torah would have said Vayivan Ir. Vayivan Ir, he built a city and called on the name of his son Chanech. Boina Ir means Bona is present tense. Building a city. Which, by the way, so simply the Mefarshim explain, the Mefarshim say, the Ramban says, that he was a wanderer, right? So he built a little, wandered, built a little bit, so he was constantly building the city for the name of his son. A deeper explanation could be said, that what does it mean, by near present tense? You always have to be building. You can't be status quo. Okay, the Torah is teaching us, by near present tense, Kayin, as the authentic Baal Tshuva that the Torah is telling us about, he actually went and continued building. A Jew continuously, a person needs to continuously build.
Rabbi Wilhelm had a Shabbat Torah a few weeks ago.
No.
He said that from this we learned that Adam Arishal learned how to do teshuvah from him building the city.
He learned how to do teshuvah from Kayin. Because Adam Arishal, like I told you, in Chumash we don't find Adam Arishal's teshuvah. Repent. We don't find it. Mm-hmm. The Medrash says, yeah, why did Hashem want Adam Rishon to sin? Because he wanted him to become a Baal Tshuva. But Leperl, in Chumash, you don't find openly that Adam Rishon did Tshuva. So Adam Rishon learned a lot of things, by the way, from Kayin, to go build, and also to have kids, and so on and so forth. Okay. Vayivalid lechanech es irod. This is just a little bit of history. Chanech, he was born to Chanech Irad. Irad gave birth to Mechu Yoel. Mechu Yoel, Yolad is Mr. Shoel. And Mr. Shoel, Yolad is Lamech. Okay? So how many generations are we talking about now? There's Kayin, Chanech, Irad, Mechu Yoel, Mr. Shoel, and Lamech. Okay, this is Kayin, Chanech, yeah, with Kayin, Irad, Mechu Yoel, Mr. Shoel, and Lamech. Okay? This is important to know because it's going to be in the next generation of Lamech's children, which is the seventh from Kayin, is when Kayin got killed. Okay? Now, this is not the Lamech that we read about later on in Chumash, which was Noach's father. This is a different guy, Lamech. There were two Lamechs. There was this guy, Lamech, that was born before Shais. Before Adam Rishon's son, the third son. Okay, now v'yikach le'lemach shtei nashim. This is a very interesting thing. Rashi says Lemach took two wives. Now, what do you mean two wives? Rashi says before the flood, all the men had two wives, one to have children with, and the other was pampered to stay beautiful to be his wife.
How do we know that?
Because it says, Lamech took two wives. So Rashi says, what did Rashi say here? Kacho yedarken shodor ha-mabel. One was peri-verivya, one to have children, and one was for relations. The one that was for relations, they didn't want it to become pregnant. Because if you get pregnant, then it ruins your beauty. So they would give them kreis shel ikron, a sterilization potent drink that would actually sterilize them, that they wouldn't be able to give children. And therefore they retained their beauty, and that was the one they had relations with, and the other one was to have children. In this case it didn't work because both of them had children. We'll soon see. But now Lamech took two wives. Okay? One was childbearing, the other one was for pleasure. The other one was pampered, and the other one was left like a widow. Basically, nobody cared about her.
So, why does it have to tell us?
But we'll soon see why. One second. Shema achas Oda. One was Oda, and the Shema Sheni is Tzila. Now, Rashi says Oda was the one for children, and Tzila was the one for pleasure. Now, Oda, there's two opposite interpretations here. Oda, one opinion says it means turning away. Okay? Because they became pregnant, they became repulsive to the husband, and the husband turned away from them. Yushalmi says just the opposite. Adar comes from the word misaden, enjoy. So the Yushalmi says differently, that which one was which. But here it really doesn't matter because they both gave birth. Okay? Vatelet Adar es Yavol. Okay, these are just a little bit facts. Adar gave birth to Yavol, who are Yavi Yoshiv Eulam Mikna. He was the father of those who dwell in tents and breed cattle. Okay? Meaning like this. He was the first one. Don't forget, this is the beginning of the world. Okay, we'll soon learn one of his kids were the first musician. Noach invented the plow. We'll learn later. Noach invented the plow. There was nothing in the world. They had to learn everything. Right? One place it says, there was a paper God gave Adam and Rishon how to do everything. Just think about it. How did Adam and Rishon know how to do anything? We learned even when Cain wanted to kill Hevel, he didn't even know how to kill him. He had to figure out how to kill him, because how do you kill somebody? So this, okay, he was the first one that he breeded cattle. So therefore like this. What did they do? They were nomads. They lived in tents. They took the sheep to graze in fields.
Says he's the first to dwell in tents.
Right.
Well, what did they do before that?
Who was there before him? Okay. Yeah, but those guys, they did what they did. They worked the land. It doesn't say what they did. He was the first one. He dwelt in tents, and therefore moving to, when they finished the grass in one area, he went to another place. He was also...
This is the seventh generation, right?
Huh?
He was the seventh generation.
He was Lamech's kids.
So how come it looks so...
1 minute. He was another interpretation. 1 minute. Who are you? Okay. V'shem Aviv Yuval. Okay. And the other ones, the brother's name was Yuval. Who haya Avi Kotefis Kin of Ugov. He was the first to handle the harp and the flute. Meaning he was the first one to create musical instruments in the world. If you want to know who invented music, his name was Yuval. Okay? He was the originator, as Rak says, the art of music. He used, but Rashi says, interestingly, and we're going to see more in the details of this, what was the music used for? It was used for idol worshipping.
No wedding?
Wedding of who to whom? Like, you need people to get married. So it says, Rashi says, also he built this guy, Avi Yoshev Eil Mikna, what was the name? Yavol. Rashi says he was the first one to institute idol worshipping in the world, even though Rambam says differently. And he said he built houses to, and therefore he made jealousy to Hashem. Tuvel Kayin, he made, okay, one interpretation is that he, Tuvel Kayin, no, he didn't get to him yet. I didn't get that part yet. Okay, so he was the first one that made instruments. V'tzila gam hi yolda, and that's where the Torah says Tzila also gave birth. Rashi explains, Tzila was the one that drank the cup of sterilization, potent stuff, not to get pregnant, and she still got pregnant.
Yavel's wife.
No, there. Lemech had two wives, uh-huh. Ada and Tzila.
Uh-huh.
Ada was the one that gave birth. She had two boys. Tzila also gave birth to a kid, and she called him Tuvel Kayin. What does Tuvel Kayin mean? So Rashi says, why was he called Tuva Kayin? Because he copied Kayin's work. What did he do? He invented instruments to kill people. The gun, the knives. That was, Kayin was the murderer, right? The first murderer. So he was called Tuval Kayin. And he says, why was he called Tuval Kayin? Here. He improved Kayin's work. He prepared weapons for bloodshed. And therefore, Kayin was a murderer. So now he made it easier for people to murder other people. Leitesh, who sharpened Kocheresh, Nocheresh, Yesu, Barzo, all cutting implements of brass and iron. Okay? So, either, and again, different mafashim say different things. Either he made weapons, or he was the first one to make utensils out of metal. Pots and pans. Again, they didn't have any of that stuff, right? Just remember, there was a new world. So one opinion says he actually created weapons to kill people, and therefore he's called Tuval Kayin. Tuval means spices. Tavlin. So Tuval Kayin means he spiced up the murder story of what Kayin did by creating weapons. And another opinion says he actually made utensils.
Maybe I have a question.
What?
Did Hashem think that without the Aseres HaDibros, without being told not to murder, that somehow people should figure this out by themselves until that point? Like,
yeah.
That they should just know.
But Adam Rishon on day one was given six mitzvahs out of the seven Noach laws.
Yes.
Right? Remember we learned why they called seven mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Why they called seven mitzvahs B'nai Adam? Okay? Okay, so the explanation is because Adam Rishon, the Gemara Sanhedrin, the Rambam brings it down, Adam Rishon was given six mitzvahs out of the seven. The seventh mitzvah, which is not to eat a live limb off an animal, wasn't given to Adam because they were forbidden to eat meat anyway. After the flood, when Noah came out, and Hashem said, now you can eat meat, but not a live limb off an animal, even menachai, which basically means cruelty to animals, by the way, which is also forbidden for a non-Jew, because one of the seven mitzvahs was in Noah. Now, Adam Rishon on day one was already told you're not allowed to kill. Correct? Did Adam Rishon tell it to his kids? Like they say in Yiddish, Adi Yad Anisht, either yes or no. But even if he didn't, taking a life is something which is logically forbidden to do. The Gemara says in Erevin that if, God forbid, Torah wouldn't have been given to the Jews, we would learn modesty from a cat. We would learn this from this animal. You know, there are certain logical things that people don't do because it's wrong to do. Logically, it's wrong to do. Correct? So, Kayin knew it was wrong to kill. And the proof that he knew it was wrong to kill, because when Hashem said, where's your brother? He could have said, I killed him. If there was nothing wrong with killing anybody, he should have said, hey God, I killed him. What's wrong? Somebody says, where's a piece of cake? A guy says, I ate it. Okay, he's not embarrassed. There's nothing wrong eating the cake. Huh?
Didn't he also bury him?
Yeah, okay. Or whatever, he buried him somehow. So it was logical that if the logical mitzvahs in the Torah, by the way, most of them, if Torah wouldn't have been given, the Gemara says we would know it ourselves. But the difference is a fundamental difference. A Jew, even today, does not keep logical mitzvahs because they're logical. A Jew keeps logical mitzvahs because God said so. What's the difference? There's a mass difference between the two. Number one, if I keep a mitzvah because it's logical to me to keep the mitzvah, I'm automatically putting limitations on the mitzvah. Because my brain is limited. You could be the most brilliant Einstein in the world. You could be 100 Einsteins in one brain, but you still got a limited brain. So if I do it because it's logical to do, number one, then I'm not connecting to God. It's still me. Okay? A person, and secondly, the problem with that is, if I would be able to rationalize that it's okay to do it, then I'll do it. Like we said Sunday morning by the class, in folklore, Robin Hood was a hero. He stole from the rich, gave to the poor, he stole from the sheriff of Nottingham, right? Everybody knows Robin Hood. Okay. Now, in folklore, he's a hero. In Torah, he's a ganef. He's a thief. He wasn't allowed to do what he did. He's a thief. But that's the difference. If you're doing mitzvahs because it's logical, logical is steal from the rich to give to the poor because the rich stole from the poor anyway. Correct? But if it's not, so there's two problems doing mitzvahs if we're doing it because they're logical. Number one, it's limited based on me, so I'm not connecting to God. My brain says it's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, so I'm doing it because of me. That's limitation. We're not doing it because Hashem said so, which is infinite. Secondly, if I do it because Hashem said so, then even if logic dictates I could do it, but I'm still not going to do it because Hashem said no. It doesn't matter what I think. So, yes, at that time, Cain knew it was wrong to kill from logic. But you see, he did it anyway.
And why was the seventh of the Noah's laws after?
The flood. Because that's when he allowed them to eat meat.
So what would be the potential problem? The people would be cruel.
If you can't eat meat, then how could you eat a live limb off an animal? Years ago, okay, people, when they hunted, would take a limb off an animal and eat it. Well, the animal stole, I didn't care. But by the way, this concept of Avim and Achai, you know, the seven Noahic laws, I don't want to go off, but seven Noahic laws basically branches out into over 30 mitzvahs. It's seven general mitzvahs, okay? Avim and Achai, that you're not allowed to eat a live limb off an animal, basically is a concept of being cruel to animals. Correct? That would involve anything that's cruel to animals. Bullfights, rodeos, torturing animals, to have races to torture, you know, torturing the animal.
Dogfights.
Dogfights, yeah. All that stuff, according to Halach, is forbidden for a non-Jew also. It's part of the Noahic law of Avim and Achai, cruelty to animals. So therefore, it's not only ripping a live limb, it's a general mitzvah that you can't be cruel to animals. So anything that you're doing is cruelty to animals, a non-Jew is also obligated in. And all the other six mitzvahs. Okay, Vaiten. Bacheis Tuval Kayin Nama. And the sister of Tuval Kayin is Nama. Now, why in the world is Torah mentioning this girl here, Nama? So there's a whole interesting argument. Rashi says, and other commentaries say, who is this Nama? Mrs. Noach. Noach's wife was Nama, that was Lamech's daughter. Okay? Because from Tzila. And that's what it's important to know based on that, that Tzila also gave birth. Why is it important? No, who cares? Because then she was the mother of, she was Noach's mother-in-law. Can you believe it? She was the mother, Tzila was Noach's mother-in-law. That's what some Mefarshim learn. Other Mefarshim have a difficult time with it, because according to the calculations, she was a few hundred years older than Noach. This Nama. To say Noach married a girl a few hundred years older than him, might or not. So some people say it can't be Nama. So why is she called Nama? Nama means Nami, sweet, you know, good. So some Mefarshim say, like Rashi says, Nama means lovely because she was pleasant and, you know, a good person, Mrs. Noach. Other Mefarshim, Sir Midrashim say it was not the Nama that Noach's wife, because according to Zohar Chadash, she was religious, okay. Other people say that why is it called Nama? Nama means beautiful, and she used her beauty for idol worshipping. In other words, it's two different arguments who this Nama is. One opinion says she was a very great woman who was Mrs. Noach, and other people say she used her beauty to build up idol worshipping. So it's a big argument exactly who it is. But the simple pshat, the way Rashi learns it in Chumash, is that Nama was Mrs. Noach. Near at the bottom of this Chumash, he says, but there are other Midrashim that say it couldn't have been Noach's wife because she would have been too old for him. And the question would be, she alive at that time? Okay. Okay, I need to go off a little bit to explain what happened over here. Lamech is saying to his wife, his wife's deserted him. Okay, they went on strike, on wife strike. What happened was like this. Lamech, this is what Rashi brings down, the Medrash says it, everybody says it. This Lamech was blind. He couldn't see. His son, Tuval Kayin, okay, which was Selah's son, led Lamech always to... Lamech was a hunter. But he's blind. How could he hunt? Where are you going to see where he's going? So Tuval Kayin would always lead Lamech out into the field. He would say to his father, there's an animal, and Lamech would just, blind as he was, shot an arrow, and he killed the animal. That's always the way it worked. One day, Tuval Kayin is taking Lamech out to the field, and he sees an animal from the distance, what looks like an animal. He says to Lamech, his father, there's an animal. He takes his arrow, shoots, guess who the animal was? None other than Kayin. So he killed Kayin. Mistakenly, but accidentally, he killed Kayin. Because Kayin had a horn, according to one opinion, that was the sign God gave him, a horn. And therefore he saw, but it was far away, so.
There's no coincidence.
No coincidence. So the story goes even worse. So when Lamech heard that he killed Kayin, he went like this, you know, in dismay. The problem was, Tuval Kayin's head happened to be there. And he went like this, he killed Tuval Kayin. So he killed Kayin, and he killed Tuval Kayin the same day. Okay? Right away. close to next to each other. Okay, so now what happens? So, they separated themselves from his wife.
They were giants? These guys were giants?
No, but he was probably very strong.
I know, but like, we say Moshe Rabbeinu was like, whatever, feet long or tall or whatever.
Huh?
Like Moshe Rabbeinu was... Whatever time, whatever
it is. I don't know. It says Adam and Isha was 100 Amos, but when the commentators explain, when Zer uses those terminologies, according to the Medrash, that Adam and Isha was 100 Amos, that means it was 150 feet tall. Now, does that mean physically 150 feet tall? Many commentaries of the Medrash and Gemara say that it doesn't mean 100 feet literally. It means he was 100 completion, perfection, you know, things like that. Doesn't mean simply that he was on, officially, when the Medrash says something, it's usually literal also. Okay? Was Adam Rishon 150 feet tall? I don't know. Was Lamech strong? I imagine he was strong. The bottom line, he did like this and he killed somebody. He was strong. Okay? So it happens like this. Rashi says, okay, he shoot an arrow, he killed Kayin. When he realized it was Kayin, Lamech beat his hands together in grief and accidentally killed his son. So now he killed his great-great-great-great-grandfather, six generations back, and now he was killed in the seventh generation, exactly like Hashem said, because he was killed when Lamech's kid was born, which was the seventh generation from Kayin. So it's, okay, so now, when his wives heard that he killed two for one, he killed two, so they said, listen, I don't have anything to do with you anymore. So Lamech now is trying to appease his wives. So this whole story the Chumash doesn't say. The Medrash says. Rashi brings it down from the Medrash. But this is exactly what's going on. So, Vayomer Lamech Lenoshav, Adar V'tzila Shman Keli. Adar and Tzila, listen to my voice. Nishem Lamech, the wives of Lamech, Hazena Imrasi. Listen to my saying, okay? Ki ish harakti lefitzi, I slain a man by my wound, and a child by my bruise. Meaning, it was completely accidental. What do you want from me? And you think about it, it was completely accidental. He shot an arrow because somebody told him it was an animal and it ended up to be Cain. And then he put his hands together and he killed him. Okay, now, Lepero, what happened is like this. He said, and if you look in the interesting thing, you have this with Azin or Hashemayim Vadabed also. He says, Shman Kaili, listen to my voice. And then he says, Neshe Lemach, Hazena Imrasi, hear my voice, or give ear to my voice. You know, in Chumash, you have Azinu Hashemayim Vadabeira, V'sishma Ha'aretz Imrefi. Okay? So the Medrash says, interesting, Moshe Rabbeinu, Parshas Azinu, says, Hazinu Hashemayim, Hazinu, means give me an ear, Shemayim, V'sishma Ha'aretz, and let the earth hear. The Navi Yeshaya, in the after of that week, by the way, we say, Shimu Shamayim Vahazini Oretz. Okay? So the Medrash says, just in Lashon Kodesh, in Hebrew. What's the difference between Shmiya or Hazinu? Shmiya means to hear. That could be from the distance. Hazino comes from the word Oza, means give me your ear, meaning come close to me. Listen closely to me. Okay? So Meshe Rabbeinu, it says, Hazino Hashemayim. Meshe Rabbeinu was closer to the heaven. Because Meshe Rabbeinu was great. See, he was close to the heaven, so he said, Hazino Hashemayim. Sishma Haaretz, Meshe Rabbeinu was further from the earth, so he said, Shema distance. Yeshaya was not as great as Meshe Rabbeinu. So Yeshaya said, Shimu Shamayim, from the distance, Vahazini Eretz, because he was closer to the earth. That's what the Medrash says, and those two psukim. But the Pearl, Lemech is talking to his wives, and he says like this, Shman Kaili, listen. And then he goes even more, Hazena, listen closely. You know, it's like, listen, give me your ear, listen closely to what I have to say. Ki Shivasayim Yukum Kayin. Okay, if Cain suffered vengeance and revenge after seven generations, so Lamech Shivim v'Shivim, he made a Kal V'Chomer. He said like this, if Cain, who killed somebody intentionally, was punished after seven generations, yeah, I killed somebody accidentally, I should have Shivim v'Shiva, 70s, in other words, Shivim v'shiva, like 77 generations. He did it intentional, and yet God didn't punish him for seven generations. Right? So why should I be punished for killing somebody accidentally? So he says to them, why are you separating yourselves from me? What happened? They didn't know what to do. Okay? So they went to Adam Rishon. This is all Medrash. It's a beautiful Medrash over here. They went to Adam Rishon, the oldest guy, sagely advice. So, Adam Rishon said to them, you should go back to your husband. You should go back to your husband. So, they had a little bit of today's chutzpah in them also. So he said to Adam, why don't you practice what you preach? After Adam Rishon sinned, he separated from Chava for 130 years because of his sin. Now, people, and this is what Adam Rishon didn't separate himself from his wife as a punishment. He was busy doing tshuva. This is what the Medrash says. He was very busy doing tshuva. He just wasn't with his wife. Now he heard that people are saying, why did he separate himself from his wife? Not for tshuva, just as a punishment. So they said to him, so why don't you practice what you preach? You separated from your wife 130 years, so what do you want from us? So right away the next pasuk says, Adam went back to his wife and gave birth to Shais. That's the connection of this whole story that's going on over here.
I thought it was
a Cain.
The wife, huh? I thought it was a Cain and fixed them up again.
What, who? Cain. No. No, the wives of no.
Cain talked to Adam and made him talk him into go back to
Lamech's wife.
You said it last week.
Lamech's wife got him back. So that's what happened. Another thing. Some of us say, Lamech's wives, the two wives, were always fighting. What else is new?
Shocker.
You know, it's interesting. The Mishnah in Yevamos speaks about a guy that has two wives. So when a guy has two wives, in Hebrew, they're called the tzara of each other. That's what it's called in Mishnah. Tzara. Why are they called tzara? Because it's a problem. They keep fighting between themselves for attention, for the money, for everything else, so they keep fighting. But here, Noach, one opinion says that
how old is Adam when he has that?
He says 130.
No, it was 130 years since he was separated.
But then right away he says,
the first day.
Adam was 100. No, in the five psukim coming up, it says Adam and Isha was 130, gave birth to Shais. By the way, just for the record, this whole end of Bereishit that says, the 10 generations from Adam to Noach and the age and how old each one was and all that, who cares? This is, by the way, even Lahavdil the Goyim, that go by the Bible rather than evolution, the age of the world is based on all these numbers. How old was Adam when he had a kid? How old was when the kid died? How old that kid was when he gave birth? And then you have the Torah mentions the 10 generations from Adam to Noach, 10 generations from Noach to Avram. Okay? And then Avram, we have the list of all the years, and that's how we get to the age of the world, that the world is 57, 79. That's because of these psukim. Evolution doesn't go by the biblical source. So they start hacking a chinik. We say that the little that Japan, whatever. Chertepet, whatever. They hack a chinik. No, that's it. I'm never going to learn Farsi. It's not going to work, no matter what. It's like an American trying to learn Russian. It doesn't go.
Rabbi Levin, he knows so much Persian.
Baruch Hashem, you should check nachas in that.
I do.
You should get nachas in that. Okay. Good. Anyway, so the bottom line of it is, this is how we know the age of the world. And that's why it's important for the Torah to say these details, because otherwise we wouldn't know how old the world. Maybe it is millions of years old. So the Torah has to give the biblical account of the years. And therefore now, when we're going to learn that, V'yed Adam made his ishtei, V'atelet bein, okay, V'atikre shmei Shais. She called him Shais. Why did she call him Shais? Kishasli alokim zera acher, because Hashem provided me another child in the place of Evel, because Aharoko Kayin. Okay, because Kayin killed him. Right? But it's interesting. Who gave all these names? Who called him Kayin? Who called him Hevel? Who called him Shais? Chava. It always says Vatikra. Vatikra, she. Even by the Shvatim. Okay, by the 12 tribes, the mothers gave all the names. It's interesting. I told you there's a whole question in halacha. Okay, it's a prophecy given to the parents when the baby is born, what the name of the baby should be. But who has the rights to the name, the father or the mother? Who was first? In other words, one father, one mother, one father, one mother, right? But who goes first? Who goes first? So the Rebbe proves later from Chumash, from the Das Kenim Balei HaTosfos, when Yehuda and Aaron Einon, the two kids are married, Tamar, that whole story. So by the first one it says, Vayikra, and then says Vatikra. The first one says Vayikra, he called. Then the second one, it says she called. And Daskin Malatesa says over there that in those times, the custom was the husband got the first name, and then the wife got the name, and then the husband. So the Rebbe writes, in fact, in a place where there is no custom, because Torah says that's the way. But in today's world, the custom is that the wife gets the first name. You know why? She put in more work. Unless, I mean, that's different, you know, God forbid the husband lost the parent, and then, you know, there's different...
It's a negotiation nowadays.
It's a negotiation, yeah.
But lost the parents is just a custom, it's not a halacha.
It's halacha.
It's halacha?
Halacha.
It is halacha?
Yeah. This is the record. It's halacha. Shulchan Aruch says that if somebody, God forbid, loses a father or mother, and they have a boy or a girl, they should name the name after the parent. Yeah, it's part of the mitzvah, kibbut avim.
Really?
Yeah. By the Sfardim, they name even after living parents.
Yes.
Even after living parents, which is a big, covet to the parent. But that's only in Sfardic circles, not in Ashkenazic circles. Ashkenazic circles are not allowed to be done. Because it's a lack. It's just, again, it's not right or wrong. It's just, there's different customs. But here, what?
Okay, so I know last time I think you spoke about this, but it's still, for me, not so simple to understand, like, how did Chava feel? Like, was she able to carry on after her son got killed? Like, it doesn't, talk about her so much. You know what I'm saying? Like,
doesn't speak about how Adam managed either.
But you just like with Sarah and her story with Yitzhak, isn't there something about how she was so upset, she got a heart attack when she found out, about the...
That's how she died, you mean?
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, because she heard... Huh?
About her,
Chava didn't die.
It seems so and then the next page, you know what I'm saying?
What should they do?
But what's interesting
is...
Let me tell you something. Torah's approach to life, yes? When something, God forbid, bad happens, I don't mean to sound cruel or, I'm telling you, Torah approach, deal with it and move on. Build a city. Go and do things. Torah is not pro-depression. Torah is anti-depression. I'm telling you, when the Torah says, what did Chava do? What do you think she sat and moaned for 930 years, whatever she lived?
But look, it says that God has provided me a child in place of Abel. She just lost Cain too. But she must have been remembering.
Well, first of all, it could be, it's a very good point, I don't know. It could be she didn't know that Cain was killed. Because Cain, don't forget, was wandering. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have texting.
And Lema didn't admit it. He said, "I slayed a man." He doesn't say.
But it could be she didn't even know.
So why you have to mourn for 1 year?
And by the way, one second. And this kid was killed 130 years later.
Yeah.
Hevel was killed on day one or two. There's a big difference.
Look, she could have disowned Cain too.
Yeah. Okay, but I bet she probably didn't.
Might have
didn't
had time
say.
With him.
Huh?
Because he had time.
Yeah. Yeah, but whatever. Okay, but now it says like this. Usheis gam hu yulad bein. Okay, this we'll talk about for a few minutes. Usheis gam hu yulad bein. Usheis also had a son. I'll tell you what the point. The Radak says an interesting to answer your question. The difference between why she didn't mourn Cain so much as Hevel. Cain had descendants, and Hevel didn't. So the Radak said, "Ki arogu Cain and left no descendants." So that's why Hevel was much worse for Chava than Cain. Cain had seven generations of kids and grandkids, and you know there was activity, and Hevel had nobody. So that could be that's why she was more comforted with Hevel. What?
Was Adam with Lilith before or after Seth?
What? Oh, that's not true. Okay. Well, Sheis gamu yulad bein vayikra shmei enish. Now here it says, Vayikra Shema Yanesh. Who called him Yanesh? Sheis. But then it says like this. Az huchal likre b'shem Hashem. Then to call on the name of Hashem became profaned. Meaning like this. Sheis was definitely a very great man. Okay? But Enosh was the first official public idol worshiper in the world.
Enosh.
Sheis's son.
I've heard people putting names for child Enosh. But why would anybody
Okay.
Count account for...
So it says like this. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, asks a very simple question. God spoke to these people. Okay. How in the world did idol worshipping begin in the world? How did it begin? It had to begin somewhere. So the Rambam says, in fact, here at the bottom, he goes through the whole... Okay, well, he quotes here very... You see at the bottom, on all the way at the end of the page of 23. Page 23. Rambam explains it, but the Rambam goes through a very great length in it. It's very interesting, Rambam. He says, very briefly, he says, it began when people felt they should honor the heavenly bodies as God emissaries to the world, just as it is proper to honor the ministers of a ruler. Eventually, this trend spread and became more and more corrupted until worshippers forgot about God and assumed that all the power is invested in what representation they chose to worship. Meaning, the Rambam says like this. They didn't come and just start worshipping idols. Because that there's no basis for that to begin. But it's like the Gemara says about the Yetzer Hara. The Gemara says the Yetzer Hara is an expert umman be'um nasi. The Gemara says Yetzer Hara is a unbelievable craftsman. He doesn't come to a religious Jew and say, go worship idols. Because you know he's going to throw him out. What does he do? He tells him, today, cut back on your good a little bit. Next day, cut back a little bit more. And then he starts getting you to do evil. And then evil, until you go worship Avodah Zarah. Until he says, Lech Avodah Zarah. Okay? The Rambam says that it's actually what happened at the beginning of the world. At the beginning of the world, in the time of Enosh, the Rambam says, Enosh u'b'nei Deirei, Enosh and the people of his generation, they started saying like this. The sun gives light, the moon gives light, they're heavenly beings. You know, we should thank them a little bit. We should give them appreciation. So it started going like that. So not that they denied God. They believed in God. But they said, you know, after all, the ministers versus the king. You're not forgetting about the king. You're going to do the ministers. As time went on, generations went on, so what happens? When people started seeing a more tangible God, the sun is much more tangible than God is, so they started worshiping only the sun, only the moon, only the stars and the constellations and all that. And eventually forgot about God completely. That's the way Avodah Zarah began. And that's why it says, as huchal likrei, huchal comes from the word chol, profaned. That's when God's name became profaned. It was in a gradual way. I'll give you an example. There's a very interesting halacha. Okay, it doesn't apply today. But the Gemara says in Shabbos, if somebody goes into mayim shuvim, regular sink water bath, you become tummy. The Gemara says, you go into a bath, you become, again, it doesn't apply today. The Gemara says, in the time of the Gemara, Beshamim, Beshil, you go, Anichnas Reshe V'Rubim Bayim Shuvim, you become tummy. Why? What did the decree come about? It was like this. Mikvahs, not only women used mikvah, men, everybody had, you know, you had the Beis HaMikdash, Karbanis, everybody had to know, you know, go to mikveh. If they became tummy, they had to go to the mikveh. So years ago, the people would go to a mikveh. What was a mikveh? It was, some people call it a grease pit. It used to be dirty, you know, what was it? A pit in the ground that was rainwater, and they went into the mikveh. But they came out physically dirty. So what did they do? They took a shower afterwards. They're not showered, but they bathed themselves in regular sink water to get off the dirt, the physical dirt from the mikveh. After a while, the Gemara says, what happened? People thought that the shower purifies, not the mikveh. So people stopped going to the mikveh and only took showers, because that's how things work generally. And Bechlal, let me tell you something. The Rebbe's approach and Torah approach, for that matter, you see this all over Torah. When people want to do new things, the thing itself might not be wrong. But you have to, as the Mishnah says, who is a chacham, one that sees the future, the Gemara says. Yeah. You need to see the long-term outcome of what it's leading to. Of what it's leading to. I'll give you even a few examples in modern-day Yiddishkeit, yeah? They would bring the Sefer Torah to women to kiss. There's, you know, a lot of shuls still do it, whatever. They bring the Sefer Torah to the women to kiss. Is there anything wrong with that? That itself is not a problem. Okay? Factually, look through the history of the last 40 years, 50 years. Let me tell you the way it went. And whoever disagrees with me will fight it out in facts. From there it went to the next stage that women would take a Sefer Torah and dance with it.
And they read it.
Okay? And they would dance with it. From there it went to them reading it without Elias.
And rabbi. Yeah.
Okay? From there, this is factual. This is the way it went. And then from there it went to the woman on the wall, off the wall, the Omen Yonim, the Rabban. Where did it start from? It didn't start from women reading the Torah. It began from something that was seemingly, but what's wrong? Right? She herself said, what's wrong? Mm-hmm. But that's the way things begin. Is there anything wrong thanking the stars and the moon and all that? Listen, why not? You be a mensch. You say thank you. What happens, though? You have to look at the long-term outcome of what happens from these things. Therefore, Torah says, by the way, okay, and you can, there's a lot of my modern, but it's late already, and very briefly is like this. When I'm going to use, in Chassidus, it always brings on the mashal, Kegarzen Biyada Chaitzev, the axe in the hand of the chopper. Okay? When a guy chops down a tree, you don't say thank you to the axe. You don't give any credence to the axe. Okay? Or to use modern day language, a guy offers you a ride in the car. Okay, you get a ride in the car. You get out of the car, you say thank you to the person that gave you the ride. You don't say thank you to the car. Unless if you're a car meshugner and it was a half a million dollar car, oh, then you say thank you to the car. But a normal person will not say thank you to the car. L'cha'eda, think about it, the car brought you. Why don't you say thank you to the car? A guy cuts you a piece of cake. He says, do me a favor, cut me a piece of cake, a piece of bread, yeah? He cuts you the piece of bread. Who do you say thank you to? Not to the knife. Right? You say thank you to the person that did it. Why do you say thank you to the person, not to the knife? Because credence is given, 1 second. Credence and thanks and appreciation is given for the choice that one had to do it or not to do it. Mm-hmm. I could have cut you the piece of cake. I could say no. I could give you the ride. I could say no. I chose to do it. So that's why you're saying thank you. The axe in the hand of the chopper had absolutely no free will or choice to do it or not to do it. The car had no free choice. The knife has no free choice. Nobody has any free choice. If they have no free choice, so why are you saying thank you to them? If somebody says thank you to the knife, you're going to think they're nuts.
So what about
the One minute. And here's the difference. It's not for now, but very briefly. This is what's called shittuf. But bottom line is, a Jew is not allowed to believe, according to most opinions, a guy could believe this. Oh, I'll give you one more example. Kabir yasevicha v'asimecha. Honor your father and mother. Yeah? The Gemara says there's three partners. Father, mother, and God. Who's the main partner? God. He gives you the neshama. Yeah? So why do you have to honor your father and mother? Because they had the choice to have you or not to have you. Right? This, according to Torah, for a Jew, for a guy, the Rambam holds it's forbidden, everybody else, most people disagree, a Jew is not allowed to believe that the sun or the moon or the constellations have any say in the matter. They are only the axe in the hand of the chopper. God is the chopper, so to speak. The sun is functioning. The sun has no free choice, has no yes or no, or yeah, I don't want to, I don't. And therefore, a Jew is not allowed to give credence to the sun because the sun is only the axe in the hand of the chopper. And the moon and constellations and everything else. The only thing a goy is allowed to believe that yes, there's God and God runs the world, but the sun or trinity or whatever you want to call it, they have, according to halacha, they have the ability to believe in it. But a Jew is not allowed to believe that there's anything but God. Their sin was they began giving credence and thanks to other things. What did it lead to long term? Complete idol worshiping.